message for today based on the scriptures. So that picture that you see on the screen, that was actually taken out my front window a few years ago. It was in early February, and just as my son was getting ready to leave for the school bus, the sky was indeed that color. I didn't touch it. And as some told to me, beautiful, but nasty weather to come. But what perspective should we have on that? Was it a beautiful morning sunrise or a foreboding of what was to come? Good day or bad day? Was it a day for sinners or for saints? The same holds true for our scriptures today. Now, I read in Psalm 119 from verses 105 to 107, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. I have taken an oath and confirmed it, that I will follow your righteous laws. I have suffered much. Renew my life, O Lord, according to your word. Now, Psalm 119 is a difficult and lengthy lesson. At first sight, you notice it is done in 22 segments, each beginning with the Hebrew alphabet. Now, this is one of the few Psalms that actually has no author attached to it. However, we do believe that David started it, but because it was written and finished so much later by the context of the text, they figured it might have been done later, possibly by Ezra or Nehemiah. And in it, the authors certainly let nothing pass. In it, they describe every sin imaginable, every good able to be done, and the joy and discord of each one. Yes, they certainly did spin a good one with this one. As we can see, it does not have a consistent flow, and it jumps from general topic to topic. However, that takes away the real meaning of this psalm, which is seen in the whole thing. The importance of the scripture and the lessons embedded within them. That being said, God's love and our obedience to those lessons. Our readings from this writing today sums it up pretty well. We can take the lesson of the writer that is the culmination of all the stanzas, that being the servant, the loved, and the obedient one who has suffered and has been saved by that love. God has saved David from death, has forgiven him for his many sins. He broke virtually every single commandment, and it kept him safe through his many battles. Yes, even though he kept messing up, God was there to support and love him. The part of the psalm is particularly ironic when you think about it, but that is God's love and benevolence. David offers his joy and hope to God for that. So, was David a sinner or a saint? When we look at the Gospel of Luke, we see two completely different stories. Or are they? Capernaum was where Jesus spent his adult life and considered it home. The crowds that gathered were probably quite familiar with him and had heard many stories of his wondrous healing and ministry. Capernaum was also a very diverse culture with Roman, Gentile, and Jewish populations. Being a popular tourist and bustling seaport, it isn't a mistake that Jesus would have lived there. In fact, during his ministry, Jesus performed more miracles and preached more sermons in and around Capernaum than any other place. He chose several of his apostles there, and as we heard the Gospel of Luke today, taught in the synagogue that was built by the very centurion he came to aid. Jesus stated that he was amazed at the centurion's demeanor, that he had not seen the level of faith even in his beloved Israel. Instead of having Jesus enter his house, the centurion proposed that he just say the word and that his servant would be healed. He was absolutely confident that the Lord spoke with divine power and authority, as the illustration he gave reveals, for I am also a man placed under authority with the soldiers under me, And I say to this one, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. And to my slave, do this, and he does it. As a military commander, the centurion was under the authority of his superior officers and used to obeying their orders. But he also knew what it meant to give orders to the soldiers serving under him, as well as his slave, and have them obeyed. He understood that Jesus had the same authority over life and death. When Jesus heard this remarkable expression of the centurion's humble faith, he marveled at him. Here is a glimpse of Jesus' true humanity. Since as God, he is an omnipotent, and cannot be surprised by anything. But here he was. He was surprised by this man's actions. But just as in his humanity, he became tired, thirsty, and hungry, so also could he be astonished by the faith displayed by this Roman soldier. Here is a man that could literally snap his fingers and get whatever he wanted. He could say the word and unleash wrath on the citizens of that city or any other for that matter. But at this time, he chose to say that Jesus was the one in absolute power, the omnipotent, the divine. The emperor would not have been impressed at that time and moment. So, was the centurion a sinner or a saint? Lastly, in our scripture lesson, the widow. In the time of Jesus' ministry, we hear a few times of widows and the miracles performed for them. This is particularly important because of the social status they would have had and the fact that life would have been very difficult for them indeed. Women were considered, as a rule, lower on the scale of importance, and for a woman to be alone, she was shunned and treated poorly. Often they were poor, barely scraping by, economically and emotionally, devastating for sure. The compassion that Jesus had for this woman, knowing what was in store for her future, certainly was at the apex of his ministry. He believed that all people were to be treated with compassion and dignity. Giving her son back to her so she would not have to face the horrible future was certainly the best option. We don't know the financial situation she was in before her son's demise, but because Capernaum was a city of mostly common and working class people, it can be safe to say they were probably not prosperous. She would have been considered a sinner because of her role in society, or a saint for surviving it, however she could if her son was not given back to her. Sinner or saint? Our lives are changed every day by the choices we make, by the actions we convey, and the words we speak. We all need to look deep inside and choose to do better. I often myself have chastised myself for an opinion that I let fly without thinking, for an action I have done, for a choice that seemed good at the time, but on later reflection deemed a bit dubious. It happens, but being part of the bigger picture is what this is all about. Even one small act can change the life of one person for the better or the worse. Now, a few years ago, I had a booth at the cultural market. I have a small business called The Chocolate Lady. Maybe some of you have heard about it. And one day when I was leaving with my tote, which had wheels, I came to a grinding halt at the lip of the floor. Well, I unceremoniously went down head over heels, and people rushed over to ask if I was okay, but the most touching of it all was a small hand that was extended to help me up. It was a hand of a little four-year-old girl whose parents were vendors. She even went so far as to help me carry my chair. That chair was as tall as she was, but she never once faltered in her duty. Was she worthy of service? She never thought twice of helping me to my feet. That one that was my little saint that day, just saying. Now, how about the homeless person I saw the other day who held the door for the lady recently as she entered a business? It was that bitter cold day. He never asked for help. He just extended a hand to serve her. Was he a sinner because of his situation, or a saint for helping her? As I close out my message today, I'd like to read you a little story. It's actually a legend. I learned it from my daughter, who was a teacher in northern Quebec in a small Cree settlement. And it's quite an interesting story, and it goes like this. A grandfather was teaching his grandson about life. A fight is going on inside me, he said to the boy. It's a terrible fight. It is between two wolves. One is evil. He's anger, envy, sorrow, regret, greed, arrogance, self-pity, resentment, inferiority, false pride, lies, superiority, and ego. The other, he continued, is good. He is peace, joy, love, serenity, humility, kindness, benevolence, empathy, generosity, truth, compassion, and faith. The same fight is going on inside of you and inside of every other person too, he said. The grandson thought about it for a moment and then said to the grandfather, "Which wolf will win, grandfather?" The old man answered wisely, "It is simple, the one you feed." The lesson? We all become what we believe. Sinner or saint, you decide. Thank you. Peace. May our broken world and broken lives be transformed in your image. We offer woundedness and turn to you for healing and newness of life. Please help us to support those in need, for you, O God, are our strength, our hope, and our salvation. And as Jesus taught us to pray, we recite, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and we forgive our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen." And now we're going to have a bit of an interlude. No singing, of course, but the hymn is going to be "Love Divine." And as we leave today together, we will recite. Gracious God, we thank you for calling us into a delightful ministry of teaching and learning together. Help us to recognize and celebrate the gifts that each one brings to this community of faith. Help us to treasure and strengthen the strands that connect us to one another and to you. Guide us and empower us to live what we learn and to serve your world following Christ's example. Amen. And as we leave today, may the road rise up to meet you. May the wind be at your back. May the sun shine warm upon your face. May the rains fall soft upon your fields. And until we meet again, may God hold you in the palm of his hand. Amen. Thank you.